Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 22. In fact, verse 21 is included in the context. I will start from verse 20, okay, chapter 7 of Hebrews. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." And then verse 22, this makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Verse 23, the former priest, for that matter, the Levitical priest, were many in numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but that he holds his priesthood permanently. Consequently, he is able to save, this verse 25, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who drew near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Well, that's verse 25 is our main thought tonight for meditation. That verse 22, actually gives us the assurance that the guarantor of a better covenant is our Lord Jesus Christ. The priests of the old, the Levitical priests, and those intervening ones were all dying priests, and they have no permanency in them. And their sacrifices involves the killing of animals for sacrifices, various goats, lamb, and sheep, you know, and other animals that's required in the Levitical sacrifices. That's why in verse 22, our Lord Jesus Christ is the only lasting priest. He's a permanent priest, because all the human priests from the Levitical tribe were all dying. They are subject to death. And they have only the sons of Levi until the Lord Jesus Christ came, that are able to present sacrifices to alleviate the anger of God against our sin. But Jesus Christ is the real priest, who, and actually is also the perfect sacrifice, that he died once and for all, so that there will be no more animal sacrifices permitted or allowed, because he fulfilled all the law. He fulfilled all the sacrifices. He did it once and for all. So that consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Now, when God has said in Isaiah, related to Hebrews 7:25, that he wondered, in Isaiah 59, verse 16 and 20, that there was no intercessor. So in that verse, beginning in 16, when God saw that there was no effective intercessor in the land, the remaining verse in chapter 15, verse 16, it says, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. the Redeemer shall come to Zion. This is the prophecy of the coming Messiah or the Redeemer. God himself would provide the true intercessor in Christ, his son. So that is our true intercessor, true high priest, who continually pray for the saints, reminding us that Peter failed Jesus for 3 times, and yet the Lord Jesus reinforced the fact that he prayed for Peter so that his faith will not fail him. And that is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ does as our high priest for all of us. He always pray for his saints. He pray for his church, the true church of Christ. So that in Isaiah 53:12, he bear the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors. That includes every one of us. So while in his life on earth, our Lord Jesus Christ began his work as intercessor, and all of us are all familiar with the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even last Sunday when I introduced that our Lord Jesus Christ, how did he choose the 12? Well, he has to pray first so that he will be one with the Father, and that the Father chooses, he revealed to them, to our Lord Jesus Christ, through his eyes, through his interaction with them. So that is the number one intercessory prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, even in choosing his 12 disciples to continue to work the work that he has done to proclaim the good news of salvation, the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So reminding ourselves, let us think of the highly priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his disciples and all who should through them that believe in his name. So from then on, that chain of prayer will continue to be the practice of his churches from the disciples up to the present time. Reminding ourselves again of what I said about our Lord Jesus praying for Peter, I pray for thee that thy faith will not fail you. It's a proof of how intensely our Lord Jesus Christ intercessory prayer for his disciples, particularly in choosing them, like Peter, from all the various aspects of his failures and sin, the Lord Jesus did not give him up. How much more we, when we fail a lot of prayer, when we committed a lot of sin, we tend to, you know, and we miss our prayer a lot. We miss our Bible reading a lot. And that leads us realize that the devil uses those opportunities to continue to fail. Once we stop praying and reading the word of God, that will be the tool of the devil to destroy the church. Can you imagine if one leader and one consistently active in sharing the gospel to the city, to the neighborhood, one or two or three, actually in all churches around the world, the devil try continually to destroy the work of God's grace in prayer in our individual lives. And the number one sadness that we all experience in our churches today is our wrestling against in persevering in prayer. This is hard work. To do it on our own, we cannot continuously be steadfast in praying. Let's just look for a moment and remind ourselves of the past. All of you have, before we came together as God's people, you all have probably observed in the church that most even in the Philippines, most members of the church that come to prayer are women. The husbands are not there. Well, they use the reason for, you know, they are busy providing for the family. But that's not an excuse, isn't it? They don't work until 6 o'clock. Regular hours finish at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But still, the problem of the churches today is wrestling on persevering in prayer. And that is the number one attack of the devil in destroying the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in every churches. So that in our meditation tonight, our Lord Jesus Christ continued to pray not only for Peter, but all his disciples. And for that matter, all future disciples and preachers, evangelists, missionary of the Lord Jesus Christ. He continued to pray. In other words, without the Holy Spirit in us, we will never, after conversion, we will never feel the urge to pray, because the Holy Spirit is our link with our Lord Jesus Christ. So that when the Lord Jesus Christ, who is intercessory prayer as our high priest, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot, without our conversion experience for that matter, the Holy Spirit will not be in our life. And therefore, we lose. There's no opportunity to pray. That's why it's very important, I think, to reflect on the number one needs of the church today is our perseverance in prayer. So therefore, if our prayer is a problem, the prayer of perseverance in our churches, how can we encourage ourselves? How can we encourage others? Well, the only way we can encourage ourselves is look unto the Lord Jesus, who prayed for his disciples, all his failing disciples. And we can echo that again and again so that our faith will not fail us. Can you imagine if the Lord Jesus will not continue to pray for us, how can the Holy Spirit guide us? And the ministry of all the churches in the world will soon die, isn't it? But again, because his great commission to the churches, go into the world and preach the gospel unto the whole world, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And lo, I am with you always while you're doing this. That's the promise. So even at the cross, before he finally say it's finished, the Lord Jesus forgive them, Heavenly Father, not only their sin, but even their failures in many ways, failures of the church, failures of his leaders in intercessory prayer. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot persevere. That's why it's in prayer. Now that he is seated on God's right hand, he continues as our great high priest, the work of the intercession without any stop, without ceasing. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. But it doesn't mean like my former teacher in high school who teaches, he says, I always see her lips. Wherever she goes, she rides in the jeep, she walks around the campus, her lips are moving. I then realized that she's holding a rosary. And she's so popular in holding that rosary, even in school, before the class starts. He leads the class in rosary. But then that's not what I meant. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us the only prayer, which is the Lord's prayer, which is, we can actually use that as well, but that's a guide in the various steps of praying not just for ourselves, but addressing the throne of God's grace through our Heavenly Father and ending it out in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's always the pattern of intercessor prayer. That's it. The power of heaven was to be at their disposal. In other words, the Lord's intercessory prayer is the source of the power in heaven. And the grace and power of God waited for man's bidding. In other words, the available power of God in heaven through the Holy Spirit at God's throne of grace is awaiting all men, that whether they're believers or not. Yeah, God's throne of grace is waiting to be God, to be all unto God for all the needs that we face. So through the leading of the Holy Spirit, they would know what the will of God was. And they would learn in faith to pray in his name. They would present their petition to the Father and through our Lord Jesus Christ, and their united intercession with Christ, the church will be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. So again, I just mentioned to you in advance that without the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ's name, we cannot experience through bidding, through crying in God's throne of grace. So I would like to ask someone if you could read again one verse in Luke chapter 1, chapter 18, verse 1, regarding the urge to pray. Continuously or steadfastly. Is there any volunteer to read that? Luke chapter 18, verse 1.
18.
Yeah.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Continue. Read also the parable.
Saying, there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?
Okay, thank you. Now, this is the illustration in a parable about the persistency in our prayer. So, first of all, in that parable, we have the plight or the situation of the widow. This woman has been wronged by an adversary. That's why she got a case to defend. And she find it difficult to find a judge or a lawyer to represent her. And there is one available, one that's probably nearby where she lives. But this judge or this lawyer does not care. He doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist in many ways. He does not respect any man. Yet, having no one to defend her, she turned to this judge, even though he was known to be unjust, uncaring, for God or to any man. Wow. I think I've seen one in the Philippines, one such lawyer. Unless you pay him a lot of money, then you can he can render a good service for you. There are a lot of lawyers today. If you don't have a lot of money, of course they are good. They are an excellent lawyer. There's nothing pretty today in our days. But this lawyer, although he is unjust and very strict, he does not respect any man or God because he doesn't believe in God. Well, this is a picture of the bride of Christ on earth. The world sees the church without husband, and like the widow, she is the object of Satan's attack and is often treated unjustly. That is the picture of the widow. Secondly, we have the fight of the widow. Her persistency in fighting for her case by looking for a lawyer or judge. She was determined to fight her case and demand justice from the judge who was callous and heartless. In verse 5, we read why the judge eventually conceded, finally accepted a virtual pounding on the door, day and night is pounding. And of course, the judge has to concede because he has to do something. Imagine if you are, be careful, a lot of beggars try to knock on the door. I don't know if that's happened. There are, during Pastor Daly's time before Pastor Mark, there are constant knocking on the door, but Pastor Daly never gives any cash. He gives them bread, he gives them soup, but no cash. It's a good response, isn't it? But all of these beggars actually, well, there's some exception, those who really need money for transportation. Well, he has to question them. So anyway, why did I say this? Because the pounding of this lady to the judge's door made the judge, even though he's hard, he was wearied by this man, by this lady's persistency. The word weary is an interesting word. It literally means to strike someone under the eyes with the eye, black eye. That's normally being seen in boxing sports. The number one target of the boxer is to constantly punch on the face. One of our boxing boxer who is popular around the world now, fighter,
his opponent.
Yeah, he is De La Hoya, isn't it? You see, he was. Both eyes were after swelling, and that renders the opponent. You cannot see your opponent once your eyes are bulging. You cannot see. That's why Pacquiao did a good job. Well, that's the word weary. It's actually the constant barrage of wearying. The judge constantly to ask for great attention. This is either meaning to strike someone under the eye or to beat black and blue. This actually tells us how determined this woman really was to win her case, to get the attention and the service of this judge, despite he's so hard, and how equally determined we should be in our prayer. Can you see if that is applied to our prayer? And yet God's throne of grace and the power and the energy is available. And yet, poor we members of the church neglect what the Lord Jesus did in behalf of his disciples, in behalf of sinners. Without prayer, actually, the Lord Jesus Christ could not perfect that work. But because he's God, he's sinless, he's perfect. Why I say that? Because we Christians, even though we have the available power and energy with the Holy Spirit, that throne of God's grace waiting for us, we don't, like this widow, do it. And we should actually consider our persistency. We must be determined. And of course, we cannot make this happen on our own strength. We must ask God to actually reveal to us what's preventing our persistency in prayer. And of course, this slowness is actually due to sin and many failures. And many failures actually are directly related to various sins that every believer experience. And finally, we do not only have the fight of the widow and a persistency, we have the delight of the widow. Well, what delight must have been filling her heart when she eventually received the justice she had persistently demanded? There is a great contrast between the judge and the one to whom we come in prayer, our Lord Jesus Christ. The judge is so heartless, is hard, but our Lord Jesus Christ is in many ways filled with patience and kindness and love to those who must persistently call unto him. If the unjust judge abandons the widow for whom he had no concern, just because she would not give up her pleading with him, shall not God abandon his own elect? He will. And he continually does. Imagine a godless judge who finally conceded to constant boxing on the door. And the judge did his best to render justice to this lady. And that is the source of our joy. He will avenge them speedily, more faster than the judge, because God knows the needs of his people. That is his promise to his people. He will never forsake them. Nor turn his back against them. Let's continue to pray, fellow believers, that God answer our prayer. Last verse we're going to look at is Romans 12:11. Any volunteer? Who read a while ago? Is it?
Andrew read, but I can read.
Okay. Yes, I can read. Yeah. We're going to end on this verse, Romans 12:11.
Only this verse, or how much should I read?
We can actually read verse 10 to 12.
10 to 12. Okay.
Yeah.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
Not slothful, not lazy in the business of prayer. Why do we become slothful or lazy in prayer? As I said a while ago, it's either sin or laziness. And because sin and laziness are directly related to each other, they are both. It's the sin that continually slows us down to be in fervency in prayer. Fervent spirit serving the Lord, not slothful. Imagine if, in your observation of yourself, including myself, you fail to pray in one day and neglect to read God's word in the morning. In the morning is a good thing because we are all active, but if at the end, at the last part of the day, which is the night, is our time to meditate for all practical purposes, it will make the mind so tired and easy to sleep, isn't it? We cannot meditate properly in the Word of God when our minds are tired, when our bodies are tired. And that makes the body slothful, lazy. And then the meditation of God's Word, we fail to recognize the meaning of God's Word. But it does not stay in our minds because we don't pray as we should. There are four questions that I can recall at this point, that when we read the Word of God, there are four or three questions. Is there something, is there a command that the Lord, the Word of God is showing to us? Command to forsake sin? Is there a sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to avoid? Is it talking about God the Father speaking to us, the Holy Spirit talking to us, or Jesus Christ talking to us? Every verse of the Bible, that portion of scripture that we read, is actually answering those questions, so that we don't have any reason to say an excuse to God that we got sick. But God knows our slowness, our lack of perseverance, lack of self-motivation. Well, to illustrate this command not to be slothful, there is a recorded history about Winston Churchill when he entered the House of Parliament as Britain's Prime Minister, new Prime Minister, on May 13, 1940. He delivered one of the most momentous and moving speeches of his entire political career. By that time, the armies of Hitler's Germany were spreading across the Europe. And we can see, if we read the history of the D-Day, yeah, we can memorialize, or we can see what Hitler's Germany has done to the rest of Europe. It is only prayer that Winston Churchill himself, together with Eisenhower, that helped that redirect the course of the war in favor of the Allies, including Britain and America. Nation after nation was swept aside, including Russia. That's the big mistake. Because they cannot fight. They cannot fight in snow. They don't have their own food. That's why entering Russia is the big mistake. Stalingrad. But then that is in the plan of God, in a sovereign plan of the enemies of God. He will just make them be a laughing stock before his eyes, especially when God's people are praying. So in silence, as Churchill outlined his resolve to press forward in the war by gathering his war cabinet, he communicated his moving forward, not to surrender. At one point he said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us, dearly beloved countrymen, an ordeal of the utmost grievous kind. We have before us many, many months of struggle and suffering." And that rallying call emphasized the need for courageous commitment at the time of war, in Second World War and First World War. But of course, the Second World War is where the rallying call was made by Winston Churchill. The country needed men and women who would work without restraint or reserve, without any doubt. That principle that Winston Churchill showed in his preparation to face the war is an important one in the Christian life. Carelessness tends to poverty and ruin. We are careless in our prayer, it will impoverish us and it will ruin our soul. The slothful man accomplishes nothing. The careless person wastes time, talents, energies, and ultimately his life doing little or nothing to improve our lot in prayer and enriching blessing of God's word. The Christian must not follow the example of a slothful man. Service for Christ demands our all and our best. Our all and our best, because our Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, gave his all, gave his life and his best. That's why God demands our all and our best. Caleb followed the Lord fully, and David spoke of running in the way of the Lord's commandments. Imagine when David sinned against God because he was called as the apple of God's eye. He called unto God, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Once that taken, we're done. Isn't it? Once the Holy Spirit withdraws temporarily in our lives, and God has a reason for it, and that is to chastise us, to correct us, so that we, our minds and our hearts will call unto him. God knows when the heart and the mind joins together. When the cry, like this widow, she cried, she persistently knocked on that door until the unbeliever judge, the hard judge, surrender. Can you imagine? If that judge is an unbeliever and is hard, he never believes in God. And then he began to show compassion, this lady, to the beggar. And that's the source of our joy. How much more then our high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is waiting for us to cry at the throne of God's grace. He's ready to hear us and to speedily defend our peace. Okay? There was nothing slothful or idle in the desires of God's people who totally depend upon him. Christ was the exact opposite of the sluggard, of the slothful. He pursued the work of his father had given him to do until he would cry on that cross of Calvary, it is finished. It is finished. And he also cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That includes us there as well. Not just the Roman soldiers, not just the Pharisees, but even those who are secret disciples who have not spent time with the Lord, including the disciples, some of the disciples. Back, I don't know who one of them. I'm going to read the history of various disciples. And the second one, Peter particularly, failed the Lord Jesus many, many times. Yet the Lord Jesus did not give him up. He believed that he can turn this life of Peter upside down and begin a new life that will lead and do the ministry for his 12 disciples. So no one ever served fervently and as faithfully as our Lord Jesus Christ. His spirit, which was the Holy Spirit, was always set on doing his Father's will. This reminds me of Enoch. What was the history behind Enoch's name? Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Well, I should not put any doubt on that. That is what the scripture said. For 300 years. Is that possible? Yes. If you are constantly in touch, like our Lord Jesus Christ did with his Father, Heavenly Father. Now, to reflect on our own self, there's not even a day in a week in which we cannot, or even 1 week, that we can, you know, perseveringly be constant in that walking with God. There's always a failure, isn't it? But God is so patient with us. Christ is our pattern for Christian life. As he continued steadfastly, so must we. Let's pray today that whatsoever our hands finds to do, we do it with all our might, not slothful, but fervently serving the Lord, as we are commanded in our text tonight. Not slothful in the business of prayer, but persevering, steadfast, not allowing the past sin, the past forgiven sins, is the devil try to review in our mind and try to dampen our continuous close walking with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may this widow who we have read in that parable will try the same perseverance in knocking at the door of God's throne of grace. Remembering that judge who is non-believer in God, was wearied by this lady until the judge helped her. And what's more, our Lord. Yeah, he continued to pray for us that our faith will not fail us. May we be encouraged and encouraging one another in our prayer with the word of God that we just read.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us about revealing yourself as our true high priest. Continue to render unto us for our soul's well-being, that even in that the choosing of your disciples, you continue to pray for the right qualified men. And yet in many ways they are unqualified because of their weaknesses and various circumstances of their lives. They are ordinary people. And even a member of any social class, and yet you have chosen them despite their weakness and sin. And that gives us a hope and encouragement, O Lord. It's not too late to ask you to give us persistency in our prayer, like the widow who persistently knocked on this unjust judge. Please help us, Lord. If the judge helped this lady who persistently knocked on this house door, how much more was our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's the real judge of all, can defend us speedily to our individual case that is before you. You know our lives, O Lord, nothing is hidden. So help us to really surrender any sin, any failures that slow us down. Now prayer. Prayer to improve our walk with thee and in the work, in the exercise of various grace that you provide for us, and that is the prayer, intercessory prayer, that you set an example, and thy word that will bless us and equip our minds with the truths of your holy word, so that with the truths of your holy word we are reminded that we cannot be useless, we cannot be rendered by our enemy useless, and thy kingdom, but we can be made useful as you continually shape and reform our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 One or two more if you want to echo your response to the call for persistent prayer. Well, can we ask one, Brother Andrew? Can you say a prayer? And then we'll ask Brother Roland. Even that's short.
God bless everyone.
God bless.
Okay, wait, we're not finished yet.
Lord Jesus Christ, be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
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 Mark, are you still there? Maybe he didn't plan to
join. I think he's probably eating dinner, isn't he?
No, I'm here. Sorry.